2 Chronicles chapter 12. I know I say this a good bit sometime, but now I'm going to go ahead and say this one more time. You had grand opportunity to shout. Like the old saying, now you just got to take it like a man. I love you. I'm gonna start this off by saying I love you. Amen. Amen. And if you want to go to heaven, you got to love me back. Amen. I do love you. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I didn't love you, I'd come in here and preach something that you want to hear. But the fact of the matter is, we need the Word of God. And the fact of the matter is, and we've been talking about this in the man cave and Master's Men, we could all do a lot better. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm going to read the first two verses, and then I'll kind of tell you the rest of the story because I don't want to kind of get ahead of myself. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, for he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Did you hear that? And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak king of Egypt came against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your opportunity, God, to preach the word, God. I thank you, God, for the calling that you've given us, Lord. And I thank you, God, for the Sunday school hour, God. It was a refreshing to me, God. It was a help to me, Lord. And God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us as we try to preach this message. Lord, move me out of the way, God, because, Lord, I can't do this on my own, God. I'll be honest with you, Lord, I'd rather preach something else, but, God, this is what you've given us. And, God, we're going to praise you through it all, God. We're going to worship you, Lord. And I thank you for your word, God. Help me right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about y'all, but I know some folks collect metal or whatever, and I was thinking about this, and Blake works at the scrapyard, and brass is $1.77 a pound, Greg. If you got brass, and a lot of people collect brass, amen. If I'd love to have about a ton of brass, amen. One ton of brass will get you $3,540. How many of y'all would like that? I don't know about y'all, but $3,540-some is a lot of money to a preacher. Amen, Jonathan? Amen. Man, we'd be happy with that. Preacher, wouldn't you like to have an extra $3,000? That's brass. Gold is $1,717 per ounce. One ton of gold will net you $54,944. You want a ton of brass or you want a ton of gold? Think about it. Which one would you rather have? Brass or gold? Now let me tell you the rest of the story. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles that the king of Egypt came against them. He took the fenced cities and he took all they had. And the Bible says in verse 7 that the Israel humbled themselves. And the Bible says in verse 7, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shammah saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service, and that the service of the kingdoms of the country. So Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up to Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all and carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the guards that they kept the entrance of the king's house. I want to preach just a little while on the thought of this, settling for brass when you could have had gold. Anywhere you see, anytime you see brass in the Bible, anytime you see the word brass, and anytime it talks about brass, Chucky, that's always a form of judgment. If you go back and look at it, the Bible talks about when they captured Samson and they cut off Samson's hair, they fettered him with fetters of brass. How many of us today are living well below where God wants us to live? And I'm not talking about material things. Now, I'm not talking about money necessarily. I'm just talking about the things of the Lord. Understand, how do we get to the point where we're settling for brass when we could have gold? When your Christianity is not Christ-like, you settle for brass. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also passed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There are things that God has already convicted you of. There are things that God has already convicted you of that you're still doing. There are things, and let me tell you something, when God puts a conviction on you, God don't want you to pray about it for 30 years. God don't want you to talk to everybody else about it. If God tells you not to do something, he means for you not to do it. And the problem is, a lot of times, you know, we've got things going on in our lives. We've got things going on in our minds. We've got things going on in our hearts that God has already convicted us of. You got things that God's convicted. Now listen, you got things God's convicted you of that ain't necessarily a sin, and God wants you to get rid of it. But there's people in this church right now that's doing things that the Bible clearly states is a sin. And you're settling for brass. What about our tongues? James chapter 3, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend in the word, the same as a perfect man, and offend not in the word, the same as a perfect man, and is also able to break the whole body. James chapter 3, verse 5, for even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, we've all got that saying, what would Jesus do? We ought to go ahead and have a saying about Tony, what would Jesus say? How many of us are quick to just carry on gossip or are quick to say things and with our mouth that we can't never take back, amen? Understand something, your mouth is about like a bell. Once it sounds, you can't unring it. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we're settling for brass when we know what the Bible says. We settle for brass when we have hobbies that's not holy. If your hobby's keeping you out of church, it ain't holy. You settling for brass. Amen. If your hobby, I'm not talking about taking a vacation every once in a while. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about every once in a while somebody needs a little break and you take a few days off. I mean, but some of us, you know, we plan church around our hobbies. Hello. If that's how your hobby is, your hobby is not holy. Understand, when we start talking about hobbies, why don't you examine your heart? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Examine your mind. Does your hobby occupy your mind more than God or more than church? All you got to do is listen to somebody talk. Amen? You want to know what somebody in their heart? Listen to them talk. When they come to church, all they're talking about is their hobby. They're talking about golf. They're talking about hunting. They're talking about fishing. They're talking about all these things. When examine your mind. Examine your conversation. If you talk more about that than witnessing, examine your time. Are you putting in more time with your hobby than you put in with the church? Examine your money. Which one do you spend more on? Your hobby or your tithe? Hey, when you could have had brass, I mean, I'm talking about 50-some thousand dollars for a ton, Brother Tony, but we settle it for brass when God's got gold for us. Oh, I can't pay my tithes. Let me tell you something. I can't afford not to pay my tithes. So what are you settling for? Don't settle for brass. My God, I want gold. I preached Wednesday night. A man after God's own. Who wants to be a man after God's own heart? Who wants to be a woman after God's own heart? I do. I do, amen. Hey, we settle for brass when we got garments that's not godly. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacing and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh a professing godliness, which with good works. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We still have a dress code at this church. We still have a dress code at this church. I need somebody under the age of 40 to say amen right there. When we come to church, we ought to look like we're coming to church. When we come to church, we ought to dress like we're coming to church. Let me tell you something, folks. When you got ladies that come down to get anointed and me and the deacons can't find nowhere to put our hand on their, there's something wrong. Oh, this is old-fashioned preaching. You can like it or not. It don't matter to me. I knew it was going to be a quiet service. But I ain't got to have you saying amen for me to preach. Listen, the problem is we look at Hollywood to get our dress code. Hollywood ain't where we're getting our dress code from. This is where we need to get our dress code from, right here, out of the King James Version of the Bible. Amen. We need to dress like Christians, not like the world. Don't settle for brass. Mamas and daddies, don't settle for brass at your house. Hey, if your children come out and they're not dressed like they ought to be, send them right back in. I did that at my house, glory to God. You can do that at your house. You say, well, preacher, you ain't got to do that if you got a bunch of some boys. Hey, every once in a while, you might need to send that young man back in there. I ain't just necessarily talking to the ladies. I'm not necessarily preaching to our young girls. I think as men, we ought to come to church dressed like we come into church. Amen. I think as men, we ought to dress modestly. We ought to dress. Hey, if you're dressing to have somebody look at you, that is a sin. When we have practices that's not pure. Now, I preached on the tongue a while ago. Let me tell you something. When you got language that's not lovely, you settling for brass. I'm preaching to church members now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather of giving thanks. I've preached on this over the years. We use slang words. And let me tell you something. Some of y'all using them slang words, you might as well be saying the real word. And you know what the problem is now, Preacher Jonathan? You know what the problem is now, Preacher Dad? I'm hearing the slang words in the church. If you can't say it, I've said it before, if you can't say it standing in front of this pulpit, you ain't got no business saying it at all. And the problem is we got mamas and daddies teaching our kids to say these kind of things. Let me tell you something. You ought to be ashamed of yourself if you come to church and your children talk like you do and somebody scolds your child in a Sunday school class. Settle in for brass when we could have gold. Practices that's not pure. When you got buddies that's not biblical. Mm. When you got friends that ain't saved, and you got friends that you say, well, I'm going to witness to them. I'm going to get them in church. But yet you see them slowly getting you further away from where you're supposed to be with God. I'm telling you right now, you're settling for brass, and God's not happy with that. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What that basically means is bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. You can say, I'm going to change them. I'm going to change. No, you ain't going to change them. Most of the time, they're going to change you. It's one thing to have unsaved friends if they're coming to church with you. But when you run in with friends, now you listen to me real good. When you run in with friends and that friend ain't got a problem with popping a top of a beer can around you, there's something wrong. Settling for brass. When you got sin that's still active, you settling for brass. How many of us sitting under the sound of my voice right now, church members that's got sin that ain't covered by the blood going on in your life? Oh, when somebody calls you on it, when the preacher preaches on it, you know, you run down to the altar and you ask God to forgive you, but then you go right back out and do the same thing again. Settling for brass when God's got gold. Folks, I'm telling you, the Bible talks about the treasure house of heaven. When's the last time you felt like God was really pouring his blessings out on you? Brother Robert said something in Sunday school this morning, and several of us said the same thing. You know, the problem is a lot of times when we get down on our knees, we do more apologizing than we do praying. Amen, that's me. I'm just being honest with you. And God's wanting to pour out his blessings. God's wanting to pour out his blessings. The Bible talks about us trying, God. The Bible talks about us paying our tithes, that the windows of heaven can be open. But Trevor, when in the last time that you felt like at your house, that God just opened up the windows of heaven and filled your house? Or sometimes, if y'all like me, sometimes it just seems like, you know, the Lord shows up when you need him. Don't settle for brass when God's got gold. Don't settle for brass when God's got gold. If you study this out, this is one generation, preacher, one generation from King Solomon. The richest king that ever ruled in history. The wisest man to ever rule in history. And all that was poured out from God. God told him, when God come to him, God said, what do you want me to do for you? And he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for his enemies. And God said, he asked for wisdom to rule God's people. And God said, because you have not asked for the head of your enemies, because you have not asked for great wealth, because you have asked for wisdom, he said, I'm going to pour everything else out on you. Hey, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And in less than one generation, David, the gold shields is gone and they make brass because they transgressed the Lord's law. And they didn't follow God wholly with their heart. The enemy came. Now listen, here's how we do. The enemy came. They humbled themselves before God. They asked God to help them. God come down, sent the prophet, said they've humbled themselves, so I'm not going to totally destroy them. Some's going to be delivered. And they settle for brass. Spiritually, had you rather have $3,540 or 54,900 and some. Spiritually. Let me ask you a question, folks. What are you settling for? I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. In my lifetime, I've settled for brass. I've done things that stopped the hand of God from blessing. What are you settling for this morning? What are you settling for this morning? When God's got it all. My. God's got it all. We sing the song about honey from the rock, and it talks about Jesus is more than. How many believe that Jesus is more than enough? Amen. If we really believed it, would we be settling for brass? How many of us not going to come to church tonight because we're settling for brass? How many of us didn't go by the tithing box today because we're settling for brass? How many of us didn't get our Bibles out this morning because we're settling for brass? How many of us is not going to make our kids do like they're supposed to because we're settling for brass? When God's got gold. I'm asking Brother Robert to come up. He's going to sing the invitation, and if you would bow your heads with me. Folks, I don't know your heart. I've just admitted to you that I, myself, as the pastor of the church, has settled for brass when God had gold. What are you settling for this morning?